Shalom, precious saints of God. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries. Well, last week I commented on the Super Bowl's wicked halftime show, and now this week I must comment as well on the Grammy Awards. If there is anyone who can say that evil is not waxing worse and worse, then they are part of the problem. This time, the rock group AC/DC performed their song called Highway to Hell. And just prior to that, Katy Perry asked the audience to put on the red lighted devil's horns already provided for them. Yeah, they lit up. So they put on the song and much jubilation. Katy told them that it would be better if they removed them for the rest of the Grammys. Now, the other star was Madonna, who wore a red and black camisole as dancing all around her while wearing large horns on their heads. Just imagine how many of our young people saw this. Probably millions. It has become a very sick world. But I just keep remembering what Jesus said in Luke 21:9. These things must happen. In other news, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel is still planning on speaking to Congress on March 3rd, in spite of Obama's open dismay. Here's how I see it. We have been allowing Iran a lot of stalling time, which of course helps them to increase its nuclear capabilities. Hello. That's the bottom line, and obvious to me and to most. You see, as long as they are in a period of negotiating, it gives Obama an excuse not to increase sanctions, or for that matter, reinforce the many he canceled at the beginning as part of the deal. Remember, or Iran wouldn't even sit down and talk. Well, Netanyahu will be presenting solid evidence of Iran's advancements, and Obama doesn't want us to hear it. So, you can look for a closed-door meeting, in all probability, and watch how Obama starts squirming and acting like it's time for Iran to commit and not extend any more time to them. Okay, so that could be happening. Either way, we are the ones who look stupid because everyone knows what Iran's schemes are and their intentions. But to get even with Netanyahu, a team of, I think, up to five Obama campaign operatives has reportedly arrived in Israel to lead a campaign to defeat the Israeli Prime Minister in the upcoming national election scheduled for March 17th. Seriously, that's no joke. Well, anyway, ISIS continues to expand its territories, working with Al-Qaeda in Egypt's Sinai and now Libya as well. Now, Jordan has picked up its offensive after the brutal burning of one of its soldiers. And the UAE, who had diminished its airstrikes, has once again re-entered the coalition to help out Jordan. Now, this could be a game changer for Obama to send some boots on the ground to the area, but then what area? Since ISIS has expanded and grown considerably, and with many cells right here in America just waiting for the opportune time. Remember the New World Order slogan, out of chaos comes order. And with it, a new charismatic leader to take control with all the right answers. And by the way, it's not Obama. Anyhow, the U.S. is now reconsidering its previous decision not to give lethal arms to Kiev in eastern Ukraine. You know where the Russian separatists are fighting to take over the area for Putin? Should we now do this, it could very well draw Russia itself into a major conflict. Mr. Kezalev, which is a Putin advisor, shocked the world last year when he warned that Russia was still the only country capable of turning the United States into radioactive dust. It is a fact that any theoretical conflict between Russia and NATO would probably turn nuclear very quickly because that's the only sphere where they can still match each other. Well, we know that Russia has recently increased the frequency of their testing missiles and the readiness of its nuclear arsenal infrastructure. Russian analysts add that Washington would have to send military officers as well along with these arms, their lethal arms, to train Ukrainian soldiers on these weapons. Otherwise, it would just be a waste. Well, anyway, with all that going on, Putin still says a possible peace deal could be achieved, but some are saying Putin might be holding something over Washington's head, like possible proof that the United States had prior knowledge of the 9/11 attacks. That's the rumor, but you can do your own homework on that one. And starting next week, Tuesday, February 17th, still at 8 o'clock, Shofar Ministries will be going to a half-hour program. But I promise to get in enough biblical information to still enhance your spiritual growth. I want to thank the faithful saints who continue both financially and prayerfully, which is very important, to support this ministry. Now, don't click that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on 1220 AM locally on the web, whkwradio.com. This is Ken Littlejohn, your co-host, with our always smiling Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. A reminder, you can listen to this teaching later this week, as well as about 5 years of the archive programs, all titled for you to choose from. Actually, a real wealth of information on shofarministries.net. And Sheila will open tonight's program in prayer.
Of course I will. And shalom to you too, Kent, by the way.
Thank you.
Baruch Hashem Adonai means blessed be the name of the Lord. For we do bless your holy name, Lord. It is the name above all names. Abba, we thank you and give you the utmost praise, especially for sending your only begotten Son, Yeshua, who saved us from our penalty for sin. And we continue to lift up to you those particular prayer requests recently given to me. So many needs and requests, especially that you will aggressively pull the heartstrings of our loved ones into salvation. We beseech you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to heal your precious saints of their sickness and diseases. We come against all cancers and immune disorders that are plaguing those who are called by your name and might be listening right now. And we truly express our gratitude for the answered prayers and the recent blessings. May those who truly love you find extra favor in your eyes and with power that only your word can provide, so to stand firm against the evil one. We claim healings for drug and alcohol addictions afflicting our loved ones. Lord, increase the wooing of your Holy Spirit on the many backsliders, and also speak to the hearts of those who let the cares and busyness of this life take precedence over personal time spent with you. We grieve over the numerous Christians who are being grossly persecuted around the world. May you keep their sufferings light and free them from their oppressors. And now, be with us as we study your word and bless with abundance those who set aside this time of Bible study to grow in you. We pray this in Yeshua's name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, well, Toda Rabah. That means thank you very much for tuning in tonight. I want to tell you that the phone lines are open for your end time questions. 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD.
Or you can email during the program time to shofarlive@yahoo.com.
Ken, I'd like to begin right off the bat with a scripture tonight in Matthew 18, 21 and 22.
Okay. All right, then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.
Okay. Well, why that particular number, which, by the way, equals 490 times?
Oh, do tell me.
Of course I will. But it's just interesting because, okay, so if I forgive my brother 490 times, that means the next time I don't have to forgive him? I don't think we would ever get up to that number. Do you really?
Well, I'd be doing good if I could.
Well, anyway, that's how many years Israel did not observe the sabbatical year of Leviticus 25, which we're going to talk about tonight. And since, by the way, they also had fallen into idolatry, which is the real reason that this all happened, where God allowed Babylon to attack and take them captive to make up for the land not laying fallow and resting. Okay?
Okay. So we're talking like 70 times they didn't actually let the land fallow.
That's right. So okay. That is 490 years.
Okay.
Because every 7 years it should be laying fallow so that it can replenish itself.
I see.
And again, we read in the Torah that God demanded it. So if you're out there and you have your Bible, please turn to Leviticus 25. And while you are turning to that, you know, let me take this opportunity right now to let you know that this hour really is a Bible study, which is why we try to get it up on our webpage pretty quickly so that if you can't sit down with your Bible during this program, you can do it at your convenience, which makes it pretty nice in this day and age. But there are some people that have asked me why I don't have guest speakers as a rule. And although I'm not against it and might on occasion do that, but you know what? There are numerous programs out there that really do that. And you can listen to them anytime you want to, just about. But real digging into the Word of God, and by incorporating your Hebraic roots with end time prophecy, well, it's very limited and sparse. And I have discerned for me that this is what the Lord wants me to do. So I'm just opening that up to you, and I would love to have your feedback on this. If you think that maybe I shouldn't teach so much in the Bible and just maybe have an occasion person to interview, you let me know how you feel about that, because I want to please you too.
And I know you're often asked to do other home study groups, but really, you're already doing that every Tuesday night.
That's right.
And that you can even call in if you have a question. So
that's right. We are very blessed to live in these last days, don't you think?
There's a lot of
even with all the evil and all the junk.
There's a lot of good stuff that you can do.
That's right. You know, for the Lord.
So.
And you know what God said in the book of Amos, in the end days there would be a famine of the word of God.
And boy, we're seeing that today. Also, Timothy talks about that, right?
Yes, the falling away.
Mm-hmm.
And also in Revelation, when describing today's church called the Laodiceans.
Well, I've learned a lot in just a short time. We've been part of this. I've been part of this ministry with you. So,
well, good. I'm glad.
Mm-hmm.
I hope others have done that as well. All right. I think now's the time we should read Leviticus 25. Let's read maybe 1, 2, 3, and 4. Can you do that?
Sure. And the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the 7th year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard."
Okay. So God made sure that they had an overabundance of produce in the 6th years in that harvest so that they could eat it in the Sabbath year. So now would you continue and read verse 5, 6, and 7.
Okay. "And what grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine, for it's a year of rest for the land. and the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you. For you, your male, your female servants, your hired man, and the stranger who dwells with you, for your livestock and the beasts that are in your land, all its produce shall be for food.
Okay, so again, they were to set aside from the extra produce that God would provide for them in the sixth year, that they could eat it during the Sabbath year. So even any that grew from wild seed would not even be able to be reaped. They had to leave it there.
So kind of like a, in farmer speak, if you will, the sixth year was like a bumper crop, a dual crop.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. And they'd have plenty to eat the seventh year,
yes,
which was to allow the land to rest. They themselves would rest.
That's right. So there's a name for this seventh year, and we've been hearing a lot about this lately in prophecy speaks and stuff. But this seventh year is also called the Shemitah.
Okay.
And that actually means release.
Uh-huh.
And the reason it means release is not necessarily from Leviticus 25, but from the scripture in Deuteronomy in chapter 15. And maybe you could read verses 1 and 2.
Okay. Let me get there. Okay. At the end of every 7 years, ye shall grant a release of debts. And this is the form of release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it back of his neighbor or his brother, because it's called the Lord's release.
Okay. And in case you didn't get that, God continues and clarifies it even further. If you could read verses 3, 4, 5, and 6.
All right. Of a foreigner, you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed by your brother. So, there may be no poor among you, for the Lord will greatly bless you in the land for which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, only if you're careful to obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. For the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting that a foreigner, you can still ask for your money back that you've maybe loaned them,
mm-hmm.
but not amongst your Jewish brothers.
So we could say,
I should say,
like, take care of your own, really.
That's right, because none of them were to be poor. And we're going to talk in a few minutes even about the Jubilee year, mm-hmm. which they could even get their land back. But the problem is that, as we all know, they did not obey totally, and they went into idolatry, and then they ended up being ruled over by other empires many times, actually. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the Shemitah, or the sabbatical year, is another word that is used in the Bible, actually, can be a blessing or it can be a curse, depending on whether the people were obedient and followed the Lord. And, of course, I look today, and if God is still doing that, I could see why a Shemitah year would be a curse at this point.
Yeah.
Because we're certainly not following the Lord.
So basically, as a nation, right?
Yeah.
This would be a blessing?
Well, this was more for Israel,
curse,
of course,
right?
at the time when they lived there. But you're right. It could be a blessing, and I'm sure many times it was.
From a national level, in other words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's clarify it a little bit more. If you could read the account that describes the Babylonian thing. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 20 and 21.
And those who had escaped from the sword, he, that's Nebuchadnezzar, carried away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths all the days of its desolation, to keep Sabbath until 70 years were complete.
Okay, now, he didn't send them to Babylon because they didn't keep the land fallow. He sent them to Babylon because they went into idolatry, but he decided on how long that they would be in captivity because of the land not being laid fallow. And that was 490 years, and that was not consecutive, by the way, as well.
Okay.
It's important to know. So then, what passage in Jeremiah was the statement in Chronicles referring to? And I looked that up, and it's actually Jeremiah 25:11. Could you read that?
Sure. And this whole land shall be a desolation and a horror. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years.
Now that was a prophecy. Okay, this is before it happened. Also read Jeremiah 29, verse 10.
For thus says the Lord, when the 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place.
And it's important to note they had fallen into idolatry too. And I said that already, but I want to say it again. It wasn't just because they didn't let the land lay fallow. It was because they were into idolatry. Okay? All right. So, again, as we already said, what about today? Well, first of all, in Israel, there are some more Orthodox that do observe Shemitah, I am told. And what they do is during the seventh year, they actually buy agricultural products from the Arabs, or they import them, because apparently the prior sixth year doesn't produce a double amount anymore.
Oh, so maybe because they really aren't sure when the Shemitah is?
And that could be too. We're really not positive, but some people say that it is this year, and maybe it is, but I think we should be open to the fact that they could be a year off.
It could be.
You know? And as we've already said, it can be a curse if they're disobedient in other areas, and certainly not a blessing, and especially economically. But with that said, the last few Shemitahs, if the experts have it right, have seen some chaos in the economy. Although, if this is a Shemitah, when you do the math, it doesn't match an even bigger crash to the market back in 1929. So again, I'm just not sure that we're, you know, on the right year. And it does get more complicated if you include the Jubilee years. And in my mind, probably extremely difficult, and only God really knows for sure. But if the prophecy of Samuel ben Judah is correct, and if we have time, we'll go over that again later.
Which has a 100% track record so far.
It does
far,
so
correct?
Far.
Yeah.
That this is not the Shemitah year, but next year would be.
Uh-huh.
Because he believes that 2017, of course he's dead now, but he prophesied that 2017 would be a Jubilee year, when I believe all Israel probably will be saved as a whole, if we're in the tribulation by then, although we won't be. That's for sure. Thank God. Praise the Lord.
Right.
But so that's what I'm saying. I think that maybe 2017 could be the Jubilee. And if that's the case, maybe it's next year, because don't forget the Jewish calendar and the Gregorian calendar don't quite match all the, you know, real close. You know, there's a few months off,
yeah.
You know, so it could be a little.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about here when we come back. And first of all, we want to take a quick song break. Do you have something you want to add to that?
Well, I was just going to say, we really can't know for sure exactly when this is.
I don't think positively.
Right.
But we are going to look at a couple of things when we come back to see that, boy, that's so great things have happened. 7 years ago and 7 years ago.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Before that.
Yeah.
So, all right. We do have a song, though, that I just love, and I really want to play it tonight, because the song is called Soon and Very Soon.
By Brenda Fossey.
By Brenda Fossey. And then we'll be right back.
Soon and very soon. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song was Soon and Very Soon, a little reggae there, and we were dancing in our chairs. That was by Brenda Fossey. Great song.
Would you like Sheila to speak at your church or group or have a question? You may email her at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or just call the office 440-834-9006. And please pray about helping sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour.
Yes, and be sure to check out the webpage. All newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, and you may order teaching DVDs as well.
And the lines are open as a reminder, and the number for the end time questions, 888-677-WORD, which is 9673. And as a quick reminder, your donations are tax deductible and are very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry.
That's right. And don't forget, if you'd like to email us instead of calling, you can do that, shofarlive@yahoo.com, but only during this program. And you may use PayPal and our web if you want to give a donation, or send your gift to Shofar Ministries Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And all donations automatically put you on my informative newsletter. So include your email address as well, or regular mail address if you desire it sent that way. Either way, we hope you will forward it and share it with others.
And if you're new to the program, grab a pencil. And as a reminder, Shofar Ministries meets the first Friday of every month at Chesterland Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306 in Chesterland.
And please tell a friend about this end of days ministry, because referrals are always a good thing. Okay, and we're going to continue on with our program. We're talking about the Shemitah and Leviticus 25. And now I want to talk about a man named Jonathan Kahn, who has actually written a very successful book on the Shemitah. He goes back every 7 years, for a while actually, showing some pretty decent data in our nation's economic and financial realms. So I think we're just going to talk a little bit about the last two Shemitah years, okay, which would have been in 2008, and the one before that would have been 2001. And you probably know the Shemitah year of 2001, if it was a Shemitah, which, by the way, Jonathan Kahn says it was. But America was attacked by radical Islamic terrorists, killing nearly 3,000 people on 9/11. And this sad day became America's also new day of discredit and humiliation. So, not a good year. And then the Shemitah year, the last one before this year, would have been 2008, according to Jonathan Kahn, where America experienced a pretty good stock market crash, and that was on September 29th, when the market fell 777 points in one day.
Now, that's some interesting numbers.
777 is an amazing number. Sort of like tells you God might be in it.
Well, three is divine, seven is completion.
Okay. And it was very significant one-day decline in the history of Wall Street. And all this happening on the Hebrew calendar called Elul 29, which is the last day of...
The civil calendar, is it?
Yeah, before the new year begins.
Okay.
Yes. So, also on the seventh anniversary of the previous record, the Dow dropped as well significantly, which also happened on the 29th of Elul. So, 7 years in between, one in 2001, the other in 2008, both on Elul 29, where the Dow actually fell quite significantly. Now, is that a coincidence?
7 years to the day, that whole 7-7 number stuck out for me. And it's like, since all the numbers on the planet happened to fall on that one day, it's
That's
7 years exactly.
And since we just got through reading in Deuteronomy where it is a release of debts, it's a pretty amazing. So I could see why Jonathan Kahn would think that it probably is a Shemitah year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I understand that.
Right.
Anyway, the two very big stock market crashes America really has ever known, other than the 1929, and both taking place on the exact biblical calendar day. So I just think that's amazing. I think we should repeat that even again.
It's not a coincidence, is it?
I don't think so. I don't think so. So anyway, this Shemitah that was supposed to have started just a few weeks ago, and if it is, will probably be very significant for sure. And, you know, how are we going to know the signs and seasons of his return or what he expects from us without studying these kind of things? I think it's kind of like a message from God. Don't you?
Well, I think you're right. And when I hear signs and seasons, I think of Genesis 1:14.
That's right. And the moon and
All
that stuff that's happening all around this time, too.
And we've talked about that in recent shows.
Last show, I think.
Yeah. So you can go out to the website, shofarministries.net, pull that show back up and listen to that about the blood moons.
A lot of information on that website, actually.
Right.
So anyway, I do want to talk about the Shabbat, by the way, or Sabbath, depending on how you want to pronounce that. Shabbat is actually the Hebrew. But in Leviticus 23, when it gives us the seven feasts of the Lord, the very first one, even before the seven feasts, is the Sabbath, which he talks about. And it's basically the foundation of all the other Hebrew festivals. You see, God said that the Sabbath was to be a holy day. And again, it's because of typology and it's a picture. But this simply means a day that is set apart or different from other days as a day of rest. Well, the land deserved a rest too, says God. And if you think about it, wasn't man created from the dust of the earth, which contains all the minerals we need if they were still in the dirt.
So do you mean like maybe with the over farming and depleting of the soil because they weren't letting the land rest might be, well, I think any good agriculturist would know the importance of letting the land fallow to replenish the mineral content, if you will.
Right. Well, and what's also interesting, even if you go to NASA's website, you can see they had done a study of man in general and saw that the same minerals that are in the dust of the earth is in our bodies.
What website is that again?
NASA.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
They did a study years ago.
Okay.
And so the minerals in the dust of the earth is what actually make us. And
right.
So we need to replenish our minerals with the minerals that come from the land that the produce grows in, but it has to be rested so that it will replenish, and we never do that anymore. So we're not getting enough minerals in our body from the food we eat anymore.
Uh-huh.
And then if you want to throw in the GMOs, that is even, you really should never eat a GMO product ever.
What about chocolate chip cookies?
No.
I really like those.
All right. Well, we won't go there. But again, I just think it's important to understand. In fact, back in 1936, there was actually a Senate document, number 264. You can look this up. But it was during the 74th Congress that this mineral depletion started happening, and they had tested the soil, and people were warned that they needed to do something to replenish these minerals, or we would not be healthy later on.
Hmm.
You know, and our immune systems would be low, and we would catch more diseases. Now, thank goodness we live in a time where a lot of that with antibiotics can be treated,
mm-hmm.
but America, it gets much, you know, pretty sick these days, and I think it's just because our minerals are depleted and we're not replenishing them.
Okay.
Okay. But anyway, minerals are the building blocks for good health, and I don't mean this to be a health show, but I think it's important that we as Christians take care of our bodies. And again, our impoverished soil just doesn't provide what we need for human nourishment and health. Okay, so anyway, thank God that there are some organic farms that do replace these needed minerals, by the way. But then, of course, the produce is more costly, but well worth your health, especially because they don't spray pesticides, and instead, they will plant in a way that certain plants are grown in between others that actually repel bugs like onions and garlic and other herbs. So they know what they're doing. But again, yeah, it costs a little bit more, but honestly, I believe well worth it.
Well, I appreciate that sidetrack.
That was the sidetrack.
So, you know, in between those chocolate chip cookies, I should take care of my body and do supplement one way or the other to stop consuming the sugar and the flour, probably. But
yeah, well, sugar really does destroy your immune system.
Yeah.
Especially in kids for about 4 or 5 hours. So if they eat a lot of sugar and then a germ or bacteria goes whooshing by, they're more likely to get it than if they hadn't had the sugar.
Okay.
So anyway, enough of that. Let's go back to the Shemitahs. And another occurrence coinciding at this time is, of course, the Tetrad of the Four Blood Moons that we've been talking about. And we're right in the middle now because we got two over and two more next year. So let's just say this is the seventh Shemitah. Then a Jubilee would occur the following year.
Okay.
2016. And maybe that'll be the rapture. I don't know.
Only God knows.
Yes, only God knows. But I said maybe, again, because of the difference in calendars, and we could easily be off a year. And but the main thing is, I think we should mention that exactly 50 years from Israel regaining the land of Jerusalem, which to me would have been a Jubilee year. That's how God would work, I believe. And that was in 1967. Just makes good sense to me. And if that is correct, then the year prior to 67 would have been a Shemitah year. And things were, at that time, from the history that I've read, were heating up with terrorist attacks, especially from Syria.
And then Egypt and Syria signed a military treaty together. So it was not a happy time in Israel if it was a Shemitah year, okay? But anyway, finally by the next year, it had escalated into war and Jerusalem was won back because of God. And they also won back the Golan Heights, the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, and as well the Gaza Strip and Hebron, where Abraham and Sarah were buried. So doesn't that make sense that it had to be a jubilee? Because in a jubilee year, they were allowed to go back to the land that was given to them originally.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. And Sheila, I got a question for you. What exactly does jubilee actually mean?
Oh, okay. Well, the Jewish historian Josephus believed that the word denoted liberty, and you can read about that in the Antiquities of the Jews. But besides the land resting and debts being released, one could then reclaim their land that might have been leased or even sold. So all land returned to its original owners, which is why I believe 1967 was a jubilee. So it really denotes liberty. But the word actually means, I think it means, what is that? I can't remember now.
To release?
Yeah, but there was another word that goes with it. I think the trumpet.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
it's a trumpet, but it's a silver trumpet.
Okay.
Yovel is the Hebrew word for it. So
okay.
I'm glad I remembered that. So, you know, just since we're talking about it, do you know what happened 50 years before 1967, which would have been 1917? I don't think you'll remember, so let me tell you. The Ottoman Empire.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay. Yeah. Was conquered by Britain after they had Israel for 400 years. And you know, that is how Israel was able to get their homeland back from Britain. So if you go back using that math, I'd like to mention the year 1517, which then would have been a jubilee as well. And of course, it would have been for the Christians because that's when Martin Luther broke away from the Roman Catholic Church.
Interesting.
And that was definitely a jubilee year, wouldn't you think? 1517?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to have to stick with 2017 being the jubilee year, which would mean maybe next year's the Shemitah. Not that we can't have some awful stuff going on this year, which we probably will, because it's still a foreshadow of what's going to happen during the tribulation.
Okay.
So, you know. But anyway, on the year of Jubilee would always be on the Day of Atonement to announce the start of the Jubilee, and they would blow both the shofar and the silver trumpets.
Well, now, what time of day would they actually blow the trumpets?
Boy, is that an excellent question. Because now don't forget on the Day of Atonement, they were fasting. Okay, it was the holiest day of the year. Now, way back in ancient times, of course, they had the sacrifices and they took the two goats. And we talked about that when we talked about Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a little research to make sure that I was correct. But I found out that the trumpets were actually blown at sundown, at the close of Yom Kippur, when they were just finished with their fast. Now, Kat, how was that remarkable?
Well, I think, like, what I'm seeing here is that when Jesus is returned, like the second coming?
Yes.
Okay.
What does that tell you then?
Well,
that he's going to come back at the end of Yom Kippur.
Right.
And something happens, according to Jewish tradition and teaching, on Yom Kippur at the sound of the trumpet at sundown, and it's called the Nilah.
What? The what?
The Nilah.
Oh, okay.
Now, Nilah means the closing of the gates of heaven that were open on Rosh Hashanah. Remember Isaiah 26 where it says, "Open the gates of the righteous that keep the truth, thy word is truth, may enter in," and we discussed how that would probably be referencing the resurrection / rapture if you're alive.
Okay, so let me see if I have this. You're saying, like, the gates open on Rosh Hashanah.
They do.
Which would be the rapture.
I believe so. The resurrection rapture someday, some year.
And through the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, which represents Yom Kippur, or the atonement, or second coming, if you will, when his feet land on the ground, that's when the gates actually close.
Well, yes, because if the people haven't gotten saved by then, it would be too late once the gates are closed.
And, of course, if they do get saved during the tribulation, they'd be known as the tribulation saint.
That's right. Now, let's be clear. Every year, there will be a Yom Kippur. But it's not till the seventh year, which might be a Shemitah again,
right.
that Jesus returns.
Right.
And at sundown.
Right. I see that pattern. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let's help the people out a little bit, and let's read about it in Leviticus 25, and let's read verses 8, 9, and 10.
All right. You are also to count off seven Sabbaths of years for yourself, seven times 7 years, so that you have the time of the seven Sabbaths of years, namely 49 years. You shall then sound a ram's horn abroad on the 10th day of the 7th month. And on the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, you shall sound you should sound an inhabitant's... I get that right?
You shall sound a horn.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't the shofar. This would be a silver trumpet all through the land.
Okay, the silver trumpet all throughout your land. And you shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release through the land to all its inhabitants. So that release means the jubilee.
That's right.
All right. And it shall be a jubilee for you. And each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family.
All right. Return to his family if he is a slave. And let me explain that a little bit, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Every adult Jewish male, Hebrew male,
mm-hmm.
Israelite, among them was a land owner. Every single one. Okay, now except for the Levites, and that's a whole nother story, but otherwise they were. Now, this land was a permanent possession that could never depart from his family. And this is all written down in the Torah. Each tribe's division is written, and this is what they are given by God, and they will have it forever. Now, if a man became poor, he could sell part or all of his land, like in the case of the Book of Ruth with Naomi and her husband. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
But they could only do it temporarily. It would always revert to him or his descendants at the year of Jubilee. If he became even poorer and was unable to pay his debts, he could sell himself into what they called slavery and work to pay off his debts. Now, again, that slavery could only ever be temporary. And by the way, it was not slavery as we think slavery. It was more of a hired hand that was expected to do whatever he was told, but they had to agree when they went into the arrangement to stay 6 years, and then in the seventh were given an option to stay on. You know, and some actually wanted to stay on because they were treated so well.
Is that an indentured servant?
A who?
An indentured servant.
Is that what it's called?
I think, I don't know. I'm just asking.
I don't know that term.
Okay. All right.
Something we can check out though. Sounds right. But anyway, they were given an option to stay on. And you know, maybe they didn't have any family left and they were treated real well, so they decided to stay on. And then they would be called bond servants. And of course, that is a picture of us being bond servants to the Lord. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, Revelation chapter 1 calls us bond servants. Very first verse.
All right.
Anyway, and to do that, they would put an awl through their ear. But when the great day of atonement in the year of Jubilee came, He would become a free man once again, and he would repossess his inheritance, so then he didn't have to be a slave anymore.
Is that why the day was called the Great Shofar by chance?
Yes, it was, which is because it was called the Great Day of Atonement in the year of Jubilee. Okay, so do you happen to know the other two idioms real quick for the other two shofars that represent the feast days?
Well, the first,
there's two more.
The first one would be Pentecost, right? The first shofar.
Yes.
And the last is Rosh Hashanah or Trumpets, Feast of Trumpets.
The last shofar. Mm-hmm.
And
that's
then,
very
of course,
good.
The great trumpet is representative of Yom Kippur, the Second Coming, or Atonement.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, I got one thing that's bothering me here.
We got to hurry because we're running out of time.
If 2017 is the next Jubilee, since 67 was the last one due to their regaining of Jerusalem, you say that it could be during the tribulation when they win the war of Gog and Magog and all get saved. How does that fit, in fact, that they will soon flee to Israel from the Antichrist and leave their land?
Yes, we do know, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, at the war of Gog and Magog, when they do win that war, with God's help, of course, that they do all get saved. And that would certainly be a time of celebration, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's in 2017, we could be really close to the tribulation coming really soon. But what's interesting is that when they do leave, because they flee into the mountains, it's just temporary. God's just moving them to a different area, because where does God take them? Well, he takes them back to the same area that he nourished them before. But they were afraid, remember, to go into Canaan due to the giants?
Nephilim?
So they stayed in Mount Sinai. Well, we know now that is northern Saudi Arabia, according to Galatians 4. And that area is part of the Abrahamic covenant. So they will be reoccupying, really, their own land again till Jesus returns and brings them back into Jerusalem at the end of the seven-year tribulation and on a Yom Kippur. You see, Joshua is a type of Jesus who first brought the Hebrews into the land. Next time, Jesus himself will bring them in from the same area that Joshua did.
Sort of a history repeating itself.
That's right. And you know what? We just about finished, and we have to go.
All right.
So I am going to give the Aaronic blessing. First of all, if you don't know the Lord, don't waste any more time. Don't procrastinate. Get on your knees and invite him into your heart.
Time's running out, folks.
Yevarekecha Adonai v'nish mereka. Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yunaneka. Yasei Adonai panav eleka v'yasem laha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Till then, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim.
And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
Not maybe. And that's, of course, Psalm 122, verse 6. We'll see you next week.
God bless everyone.
Hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries.